afternoon, rodeo fans of Macon 8 Mania. This is pro rodeo announcer Brett Weldon, inviting you to step back on the ranch with Macon 8. So get a grip, because the show starts now.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now put your hands together for this next cowboy. He has written his last seven rules, and tonight he's going to try and make it eight.
Here comes the fool down.
Rodeo fans and Macon 8 maniacs. That's right. It is time to sit back on the ranch right here on the Macon 8 Rodeo Network, and I'm your host, Scott Masick. We have us a show set up tonight. Man, I'm telling you, I'm so excited about this deal. What a way to get things started off going into the Thanksgiving Day weekend. I'm telling you, I'm already getting set up and getting ready. It's going to be a wild one, and we have a lot to do this week, but we are glad that you guys are able to tune in with us here on a Monday night. We've got a special guest lined up. Now, we are only a couple weeks away from the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo, and with that being said, there's a lot of talk going on right now. It's getting hot. These guys are getting ready. And it's going to be an exciting, exciting Wrangler National Finals. Could be one of the best that we've seen, and not just the bull riding, where you've got PBR superstar Shane Proctor and three-time world champion J.W. Harris battling it out for the top standings, but you also have so many other events. You've got your tie-down roping. Our good buddy Mr. Shane Hanchy's going to be out there. The Cooper boys. I'm telling you, all kind of coached by none other than the legend himself and Super Looper Roy Cooper. It's going to be great. And it's going to, of course, be broadcasted on GAC. You're going to be able to find all the action there. I will tell you that the Macon 8 Rodeo Network is currently working on some things. I don't think we're going to make Vegas, fans. This is going to be the first year in 3 years that we have not been out there. But anything can happen. Now, with that being said, I will say that we are working on some things. We may be doing some watch parties out here in Oklahoma. Might be heading up to Oklahoma City, but we'll have to fill you in on all those details as we get them. So make sure to stand by, hang tight, stay tuned to the Macon 8 Rodeo Network. Now, we've got a lot of things in the works. We've got a lot of changes that have been made. I do want to welcome in our official sales representative, and Miss Sherry. Now, Sherry is one that you guys may know as Stiletto Cowgirl. She is a great, great young lady, and we are proud to have her on board with Team Macon 8 out here. She's going to be doing some sales. She's going to be doing some marketing for us, and you guys are going to see a lot more from her out here on the Macon 8 Rodeo Network. So if you guys have not followed Miss Stiletto Cowgirl, her name is Sherry Kingsley, you guys, or Kinsley, you guys can find her there. And we do want you guys to welcome her to the Macon 8 family, and we are definitely proud to have her. It's going to be a great time. And, you know, it's growth, and this is where we're at. You know, we are at the point where we need help, and we are bringing in a team to do that. Now, for some of you guys may have been tuning in, and if you haven't already, make sure you can find us in the archives here on Macon 8 Radio on Blog Talk Radio. You can find some of the shows that we've been developing, some of the new things that have been happening with the Macon 8 Rodeo Network as we've been partnering up with Sam Medlock, the head coach and owner of Allied Bull Riders. And we've been doing a show on Wednesday nights now called the Bull Riding Advice Hour. This is a really, really cool thing. You know, it's a unique opportunity, and if we had a really good show last Wednesday, we look forward to having a really good one this Wednesday, and I think you guys are really going to like it. We're going to have guests. We're going to talk bull riding. We're going to get you fans excited about what's happening and get you guys a little bit more educated maybe about what, you know, is happening in the bull riding community, what are issues that these guys are having to go through. So this is a really, really cool opportunity, and we look forward to having you guys on board with us. You know, we're going to have callers. We're going to have fans calling in. We're going to have athletes calling in, giving us some issues that they may be running into. So definitely make sure that you guys are going to be tuning in to us Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Central Time. And I will say, I've got to thank Mike Anderson for actually setting up this situation here for us today to have our guest on board. Eight-time world champion Donnie Gay is going to be joining us here in just a few minutes. And, you know, if you guys missed his show yesterday, Short Go Radio, you can find it on Facebook. You can find it on Twitter. The links are posted out there. You can find it here on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure to add Short Go Radio with Mike Anderson. And I will tell you that he had a great guest, Bob Tomlin, on yesterday. That was really entertaining. Unfortunately, wasn't long enough. And, you know, I talked with Mike. I think that we're going to try to set something up where we can actually introduce and bring in Bob and sit down with him a little bit longer, because that guy knows rodeo, and we can certainly talk about it. So it's going to be a lot of fun to have that opportunity. And got to thank Mike Anderson. Make sure you guys go back over and listen to Short Go Radio, as I really think you all will enjoy it. Great interview yesterday with Bob Tomlin. So with that being said, man, I'm telling you what, it's a cool day up here in Oklahoma, and we are definitely getting geared up, getting fired up and excited about the Wrangler National Finals coming up in just a couple weeks. Fans, you got to make sure to tune in. You can find it on GAC, which is on the, well, I don't know the actual abbreviation names for it, but anyways, it's GAC Network, and you guys make sure to find it on your local cable or satellite providers. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be an exciting 10 rounds. All 10 rounds will be aired on GAC, so you don't want to miss it. Fans, it's going to come down to the wire. The bull riding is going to be one of my personal favorites, but there's so many other events out there in the tie down, the team roping, the steer wrestling, barrel racing, which, of course, we're going to be pulling for Lindsay Sears, who I believe is the only Canadian to actually make the Wrangler National Finals this year. So it's really going to get exciting to see how this whole world championship in rodeo evolves and takes shape. Got to make sure to tune in, guys. Hopefully all of you all will be a part of it. And we will also be looking to do possibly some watch parties. We're not necessarily – yes, thank you, Mike Anderson, for posting that out there. Great American Country Network. And you can find it there on your local satellite and cable providers. GAC is where it's at. And I'm telling you, I'm really excited. But even more excited about the guests that we're about to have on board here with us tonight. Now, I do want to let you guys know that phone lines are open, 615-9940. If you guys do want to give us a call, if you want to have an opportunity to talk with Donnie, make sure to give us a call, push 1 on your phone so we know that you want to try to connect with us, and we will try to get to your call. We're going to take a short break, rodeo fans, and when we come back, we look to sit back on the ranch right here on the Making 8 Rodeo Network with 8-time world champion bull rider, Mr. Donnie Gay. So make sure you stay tuned. Get a grip. Get over on your Facebook. Get over on your Twitter and spread the word. Donnie Gay coming at you when we come back.
Catch me a ride to the rodeo. There's some mule deer laying by the road ahead. Well, he ain't sleeping, he's damn sure dead. Venison frying in the blazing sun. Hand me a ride, come on, someone. Yeah, my car broke down, I ain't got no money, stuck out on the road. Hand me the ride now, won't somebody take me to the rodeo? There's a buzzard circling up in the sky, and he's looking at me with them beady eyes. Well, I don't know, but I got a hunch he'd rather have me than that deer for lunch. Right now, I wish I'd have stayed in school, but I had to be a rodeo cowboy fool. And I'll bet my daddy'd sure be proud if he could take a look at his son right now. Yeah, my car broke down, I ain't got no money, stuck out on the road. And need a ride now, won't somebody take me to the road? In a Cadillac, she got the top rolled down and her hair tied back. She don't look, she don't even slow down. She just keeps them wheels rolling around. Yeah, my car broke down, I ain't got no money, stuck out on the road. Hey, need a ride now, won't somebody take me to the rodeo?
This is Wrangler National Finals Rodeo announcer Roger Mooney. When you get ready to get a grip and get explosive, get all of your bull riding info on Makin8.com. Tune it in, rip off the knob, and let's get hide, hump, hooves, and horns. Makin8 is a winner.
Oh, that's right. Welcome back to the Makin8 Rodeo Network as we sit back on the ranch on a Monday night talking a little bull riding, talking a little rodeo with you, the fans. Do want to remind you guys, phone lines are open, 646-915-9940. Now, I will let you guys know, before we have our guest on, before we bring him on, 8-time world champion in the bull riding, Mr. Donnie Gay. I did get an interesting story come across Facebook here this afternoon, and, you know, I kind of want to share it with you. And this was somebody's definition of a true cowboy, and I just want to kind of get your insight, your thoughts, your feelings behind it, give you something to think about here. A true cowboy is one who talks with that accent, who wears boots with everything, who ain't too rich and ain't too poor, and who wears his Wranglers no matter how hot it is. Someone who can't believe or can't leave without his dip, and who loves them big trucks, treats his women better than his horse, and who's always wearing that cowboy hat, even if everyone else doesn't. A true cowboy is born, not made, and won't ever leave the house without his hat. And you know, I gotta thank Miss Jules for posting that out there, friend of mine there on Facebook. And yeah, I'll tell you what, it kind of makes you think about things. I know I sure did. You know, it kind of made me think about it, and I can remember back when I was younger how, you know, living in the city of Daytona, there in Florida, you didn't see a whole lot of folks out there with cowboy hats. But I darn sure had mine on. And you can bet that it was something that I was just born to wear. You know, it didn't matter where I was, what town you live in, you're going to wear your cowboy hat. And, yep, I tell you, it never got too hot down there in the Sunshine State to wear them Wranglers, so you can bet on it. So, anyways, just thought I'd give you a little bit of something to think about, and thanks, Miss Jules, for posting that out there. Now, we are waiting any minute, guys. Eight-time world champion in the bull riding, Mr. Donnie Gay, is going to be joining us, and I am excited about it. We're going to find out about what Mr. Donnie Gay is going to be doing during the Wrangler National Finals. We're going to also talk about how he got started in the rodeo industry. You know, this is a guy that we have heard. You know, you cannot mistake the voice of Mr. Donnie Gay. It just stands out. And anytime you're around rodeo, if you've ever been around rodeo, if you've ever watched a video, if you've ever heard any kind of commentary, you know Donnie Gay. So with that being said, it is my pleasure to bring on the 8-time world champion bull rider, Mr. Donnie Gay. Donnie, welcome back on the ranch right here on the Making 8 Rodeo Network.
All right. Well, it's nice to be back.
Well, yes, sir. We're excited to have you here with us tonight. And I gotta tell you, it is, this is the time of year when I think anybody who's watched rodeo gets real excited, because this is the time of year as everybody is gearing up for the Wrangler National Finals.
Well, it's in the Western world, it's kind of like, you know, Monday night football. It's becoming an institution, and everybody seems to look forward to it. I know I still get excited when I don't particularly like traveling out there, but staying 15 days out in Las Vegas, but you still get excited. It's a great event.
Absolutely, and Vegas will definitely take its toll on you out there for sure. And, you know, you have probably spent more time out there in Las Vegas than most people alive. I mean, you spent more time going to the Wrangler National Finals than probably, you know, most people out there. Let's talk a little bit about that. And going back, I mean, 8-time world champion, you got your first championship in 1974. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And, you know, from that time on, now, was that your first Wrangler National Finals or no?
No. I graduated from high school in 1972, and that was the first year that I qualified for the NFR. I started rodeoing in June and made the NFR that year. That was probably the most exciting thing in my rodeo career, was qualifying for my first NFR. That was, you know, that was traveling with Gary LePew and that particular year. And you know, it was just a fantasy dream come true. 73, I was runner-up to the world title to Bobby Steiner. Had I ridden my 10th bull, the bull in the last go-round, I had the bucking bull of the year, and I rode him about 7.5 seconds, or I would have won my first world title in 73, but I didn't. And so I started the run of world titles in 74 and got the last one in 84.
Wow. And I'll tell you what, to have 8 world championships in a 10-year spread, that says a lot, you know. That's a lot of dedication. Now, you just said that you started riding in 1972, and that was also your first Wrangler National Finals. And you were traveling at the time with world champion Gary LePew, who won it back in 71. Tell us a little bit about that, and what was that like?
You know, LePew was one of those guys. I mean, he was the champ in 1970. Doug Brown was in 69. And, when I graduated from high school, of course, you have to remember, I turned professional when I was 16 years old. I filled my permit in the bareback riding at Waco, Texas. I split first and second at Waco, Texas in the bareback riding with Harry Tompkins. He had come out of retirement. He was like, I don't know, probably 45 years old at the time. But, you know, I couldn't leave and go rodeo because I had to graduate from high school or my dad was going to kill me. And I believed it. And I think he probably would have. But I knew LePew. I met Gary LePew. The first time I remember talking to him was at the 1968 NFR in Oklahoma City. The Cowboys at that time stayed in what was then the Black Hotel. That was the name of it, the Black Hotel. And I remember one of the more exciting days. You know, I wasn't even in high school yet, I don't think, or maybe in the eighth grade or something. But I was in the dining room of the coffee shop in that hotel, and there was Gary Lafue and his wife Sandy. There was Doug Brown and his wife, Bobby Berger and his wife, and George Paul. That was the year George Paul was the world champion in 68. And just listening to them talk, I was just absolutely spellbound, you know, and just couldn't wait to have enough birthdays to be able to get out on the trail. I mean, that was the most exciting, but I knew I was going to be out there, and I had no idea if I was going to be good enough to not have to work the labor list, but I was going to be out there no matter what.
You bet. Well, now, I'll tell you what, you also traveled, you know, you and I were just talking about before the show that this was not just something that you were doing as an individual that you stepped out. You were kind of raised around rodeo, and it was a family tradition for you guys. You also traveled with your brother, is that correct?
Yes. It's been a family affair with my family. My dad, Neil Gay, started the Mesquite Rodeo in 1958. His partner was Jim Shoulders, who's the 16-time world champion. Jim Shoulders, the greatest cowboy that ever lived, period, the end, and I'll argue with anybody. Seven of his world titles were in the bull riding, and him being like a second father to me growing up. I mean, I was 5 years old in 1958, and I knew then that I wanted to be the world champion bull rider. I wanted to be a rodeo champion, just like Jim Shoulders. You know, my dad rode Bronx and Bulldogs, and, you know, so we went to school. We did everything all kids did. But when we came home, we was feeding bucking horses and bulls and cleaning the barn for the pickup horses and my mother's barrel racing horse. And, you know, my older brother and I mean, we could drive a it wasn't a semi-truck. It was a two-ton bobtail, but we could drive it when we were 10 years old, you know, and haul livestock. So, I mean, we learned how to work, and we learned how to ride when we started riding calves. And thank God we graduated to bulldog and steers when we were about 8 years old, or I might have tried to be a member of the band, because the calves about killed me. But really? The bulldog and steers was I began to have a picture of what I wanted to do when I started riding steers when I was about 8. And I rode them till I was 15. And I got on my first big bull when I was 13, but it was handpicked by Jim Shoulders, who actually had the first rodeo riding school ever. And, you know, the bull just hopped down the arena. And of course, you'd have thought that I rode Tornado by listening to me, but, you know, I mean, the bull didn't even buck. I mean, the steer's much harder than this bull did. But, you know, the difference is the controlling the fear factor and the size of the animals for these young kids. And I just had a clinic Saturday, excuse me, and there's a boy that's not quite 16 yet, and he rides as good as anybody you've watched on television lately. And I told him, I said, the hardest thing in the world is going to be for you to wait till you're 17, 18 years old. That's 2.5 years. I said, so if you wait a year, that'll probably be a win. But every year that you wait, that'll increase your career by 5 years. And I said, do you want to win $100,000 between being 16 and 20 years old, do you want to win $100,000, or between 18 and 35, do you want to win $5 million, you know, or $10 million? I said, you know, that's the difference, because you only have so many rides, and you can only have your body battered so many times before it erodes the mental capacity to get past all of the things that you have to get past when you're riding bulls for a living. So, you know, that my dad making me stay home and make good grades and graduate from high school is the reason that I was able to win 8 world titles. I think I'd have won 3 or 4 no matter what. But then I'd have been an also-ran in, as far as I'm concerned. You know, so I give the longevity factor to be able to ride at world championship caliber level. You know, that actually goes to my dad. Because I know that I wouldn't have been able to make that kind of a mature decision when I was 16 years old.
Sure.
My ego would have gotten the best of me.
Yeah, sir, I can certainly agree. And we see that a lot out there nowadays. Guys may be trying to break out, you know, into the professional ranks a little too early. So
I see it all the time. I mean, I can name names. You know, the most talented guy riding bulls right, you know, maybe right now is, or for the last 5 or 6 years, a guy named Luke Snyder is the most underachieving bull rider, and you know, going that. I mean, he won the PBR finals first year he qualified, you know, and he's one of Gary's students, and has all the talent. You know, you have all the talent in the world, but if you can't manage that when you're stepping over in the chute. Bulls can't read your resume, and they don't know how talented you are. And furthermore, they really don't care. You know, so, you know, and you have to be able to do it. And Luke Snyder is one of the nicest guys I ever met. And I say that I don't mean to be ugly when I say he's an underachiever. I just mean to say that, my God, he could, you know, he could ride circles around most everybody riding, but yet, he did not do it, and that's the bottom line. It's kind of like, you know, hitting the rake in the sand trap and your ball bouncing in the hole. It's still, you write down a 1 on the scorecard. You either did or you didn't.
That's it. And I'll tell you what, that really is. That kind of is a really good example for us to look at. Now, you know, we still look at Luke Snyder today, and he's, you know, he's still showing some of that great potential. I think he's coming off, you know, his best.
I think he's probably riding. I agree. He's riding better right now than he has in the last 5 or 6 years. You know, and that's just, you know, and I think that's maturity. You can look at Corey Rash, and you can go down the list of the guys that's come up, and you're thinking, boy, they got a great future. Reese Kate, go ask him. I told him 4 or 5 years ago, you know, what I thought he ought to do. And you know, he paid me as good a compliment as I've ever had. He said, you know, he come walking out, he had just been 90 points on 2 bulls, won an event, won both go-rounds, 40% of them, and rode real well. And he walked out and he said, I've been meaning to tell you, I wish I'd have listened to you 3 years ago. I darn near was out of bull riding forever. Fortunate enough to make it back, and I said, I don't wish anything but the best for a guy that's going to make a living sticking his hand in the rope. Look, can't everybody do that? And
right.
So I've got a real affinity for, you know, but my bedside manner's not real good, and I don't have a lot of patience. And you know, for all of the would be's and all of the good excuses, because that's just what they are, they're excuses. So
yes, sir.
You know, you either did it or you didn't.
That's right. You're absolutely right. And I'll tell you what, boy, you hit the nail on the head. It couldn't have been said any better than that right there, Donnie. And I appreciate that. I think the fans are really kind of getting an understanding of what some of these guys have had to go through, you know. And when you talk about some of those names, I really think that you're right. I believe that what it comes down to, just like you were saying, Luke Snyder could have probably done this 3 or 4 years ago, had he had the patience to really go out there and wait.
He got in too young. Do you know that there's only been one pitcher that pitched in the Little League World Series that's ever pitched in the major leagues? won, and how long the Little League World Series been going. That's because they start too young. Those stud pitchers when they're 15, that their parents are really proud. Bust every button on your shirt. Compete through your kids. You know, that's just, I mean, that's shameful, but that's just what happens. And I went to the YBR finals, and they want to know what I thought about it. And I said, well, you guys ought to be put in jail for bucking these bulls that are too ranked. Hey, you know, everybody should ride. These boys ain't going to learn. They're not going to grow confidence, and they're not going to learn anything, you know, laying on their back, getting the wax knocked out of their ears, you know, to win $500. Or a trophy, or a buckle. I mean, my gosh, you know, let them make the whistle and pay 10 places and have good judges to award confidence. It doesn't matter. The only way you learn how to win is by winning. You can't read it in a book to get that feeling. To get that feeling, you have to win. You got to place. You got to go get your check. You got to walk by and go, yeah, boys, look at this here. I beat all y'all today. That kind of stuff can't be recreated. You can't talk yourself into that. You have to go and do it. And bucking everybody off at a young age is just counterproductive. And when I hear guys go, well, you know, I go to 40 events a year. Well, at 40 events a year, in my mind, he's a weekend bull rider. I used to make a living off weekend bull riders' entry fees, and so I don't have a lot of use for that. And they'll say, well, I practice a lot. And I'm going, if you don't practice on something that scares the crap out of you, then you wasted your time. If it's not scary, then why don't we just have the world championship decided on a bucking machine? It's not scary either. And then my daughter can outride all of you and look better. The practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice is what makes perfect. And you have to understand what it is that you're after to be able to practice. And if you're getting on a bull, no matter if he's, you know, just a pretty good 18, 19-point spinner that you rode 15 times before, you still have to pay attention, you know, so you can't really practice. I can't stand there and tell you that you need, you know, you need to quit getting your free hand too far back. You need to get your elbow down. I can't tell you that, and you hear it, understand it, look at it, and still make the whistle. I need you on a bulldog and steer where you're not scared, and you're jumping and kicking, you're up on your bull rope, and then I can make sure that you have everything just like you like it, and you ride along thinking, well, this is easy. Well, It won't be that easy whenever, but if you do it just like that when you get on Bushwhacker, you might have a chance.
Yes, sir.
Because if you think bear down, or you if you think anything, you're bucked off. Period.
Yep.
I've had four riding schools, and I've not charged a dime. They've been free clinics, and I don't know who else does. And I must be crazy. You know, because I don't, I mean, it probably cost me $500 to go have a free clinic. I wish it had been free for me. But you know, I have a passion for the rodeo business, the best event in the rodeo is the bull riding. And so if somebody wants to learn, then I want to help. But it's kind of like I told those boys, I said, when I got there, I said, now, boys, I said, there's two things. One is I don't want you getting on unless you're going to put out 100% and try and do what I tell you to do, when I tell you to do it.
Right.
And they said, I said, don't tell me that so-and-so said I should. I said, how many gold buckles has old so-and-so got? You know, well, ain't nobody got as many as I have, so you're here, so we're going to do it my way. You can win eight, then maybe you can win nine. You know, that would be fun to watch. So I said, and they said, well, what's number two? And I said, nobody can put their rope on backwards here. And, you know, and if for y'all that don't know what that is, that's how the Brazilians put their ropes on. They're backwards. You know, if you ride left-handed, you pull your rope from the left side. And everybody, I can just hear people going, well, that SOB, I'm going to tell you, until somebody gets eight, until somebody wins eight, I'll even say it, when you win eight world titles, then I'll say, well, it's different. I'll quit calling it backwards. But the way that you ride with the Brazilian style rope, pulling it from the offside, and the way that you set your hand, if you're not built to ride that way, I don't think they ride. I think they're along for the ride. They pull the rope too tight. If you pull a rope tight enough, you pull it where you can't let it slip across the bull's back. If you pull it any tighter than that, then you're cheating, as far as I'm concerned. I used to tell Adriano that all the time. And I'd say, you know, if you pull it tight enough to where it won't slip, why are you pulling it any tighter? Your hand's not what's supposed to ride the bull. That's your butt. You know, so I told him, I said, you know, they ride with strength, a real tight rope, locked in with their feet, and they take a heck of a jerking, and them guys are tough, and I like all of them. But if I were riding, I'd be beating their brains out. Because the bulls would buck better with me, because I don't pull a tight rope. I help the bull buck, because I'm in time with him. I ride with rhythm. I ride with balance. I ride like if you watch cowboy and Indian movies, you know, see the Indian riding a horse bareback, running 9-0, shooting a bow and arrow. That's how you ride bull. And, if, you know, that's just how simple it is. And so.
I agree with you, Donnie. I have seen you announce some PBR Touring Pro events, and you will make no mistake in pointing that out. At these events, and I'll tell you what, I respect you for it, and I think that you know, bull riding has sort of gone by the wayside. People look at bull riding differently than what they used to, and I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, it's about riding that bull and about helping that bull buck, and I certainly agree with you. There's a big difference.
The bulls are different in the fact that. If you're successful, if you can really ride, your ability means something nowadays. My ability didn't always mean as much as I wanted it to, because the bull herd at the contest was never as good as they are now. And by that I mean there was a bottom end that you could not win on if you rode them 8 seconds. And there was a top end of maybe if there was 30 bulls, 10 of them were called 10 bulls that you could win money on. And there were two of them that were as good as anybody, Bushwhacker, Bones, you go down the list. That, you know, rank bulls are freaks of nature. The rest of them, they're just good. You know, it's unfortunate when you draw the top end, and they do that now whenever they say, well, we've eliminated the luck of the draw. Well, no, you didn't. All you did was you took it away from – instead of having to draw around the bull that they're going to let the clowns fight, or one that's just going to be dirty down the pen and you're going to be 65 points and no re-ride, instead of having to draw around those, now you want to draw around Bushwhacker. You don't want him. You don't need Bushwhacker because, number one, you might not be able to ride him, but number two, it's not going to be that tough. Most of the guys making a living today are riding less than 50% of their bulls, and they are the guys doing that should be embarrassed.
Yes, sir.
You know that's the bulls are not ranked; they're good, and if all you have to do is elevate your game, and you cannot go to 40 events a year, and be on your game. A professional baseball pitcher pitches every 5 days, but he throws the baseball every day. The difference is rodeo doesn't have enough money. You don't have coaches and trainers and guys with pitch counts and locations and radar guns and all that stuff. You don't have all of that for a bull ride. And an 18-year-old guy, he doesn't know that he's not supposed to be butting heads with Marchi and those guys, right? Because even if he rides a good one, they're still going to beat you, you know, until you stay there long enough. You know, it's just it's a shame that there's not enough money to be able to coach some of these guys, because I've seen, I see 10 or 15 guys every year that, because they don't know where they should be going, they'll never, ever get into that upper echelon. And what people don't really understand is you take the top 40 from the PBR, the top 15 from the PRCA, the top 25 from the CBR, which are the three major events, in my opinion. The top five guys in each of those associations, usually there's one or two that are both. But the pure fact is the top five guys are making a lot of money. They're making they're winning plenty of money, got a lot of bonuses. They got sponsorships that some of them haven't earned, but they have them nonetheless. Those five guys, so that, what is that, 15 guys?
Yeah.
So, okay, 15 guys really making, let's call it a outstanding living. Okay, well, you're going to live longer than 32, so let's see how many of those 15 are making a lot of money in that living whenever they're 32 in bull riding. So there's one thing for you to think about. But then you think of number 6 through 20 in each of those associations, 6 through 20 they're doing okay. If they're single and don't have a wife and a kid and a house payment and a car payment and doctor bills, if they're single, they're doing all right. They have a chance to rocket to that number 5. But if you're already 30 and you're in that position, you're not all right. You might be lying to yourself, but you ain't all right. But guess what? Let's go to 31 to 50. Let's go to 31 to 50, and those guys actually need to have somebody give you money just to show up where you can afford to get there. That's not all right, and that's not good for our business. And so number 31 through 50, why in the world is he at the Cup with 1 through 6 every Friday and Saturday? They can't beat those guys. I mean, Blind Hog can find an acre, sure, but they don't have anybody to say, hey, Nimrod, you need to be over here where you're the best guy at the rodeo. And you need to be able to win. You need to get some confidence. And then you can go, whenever you're riding good and you've been winning and you don't owe anything and boy, you feel good on bulls, absolutely, if you can get an invite to go to one of those big jackpots, they need good bull riders. Everybody does. Then go, but give yourself an opportunity. Marchie's not worried about the guy that's been riding pretty good from somewhere else. He don't care. He's going to try to ride what he's got, and he knows those bulls. He's comfortable. He's gotten comfortable in the environment, which is a huge distraction to most guys until you learn how to win. And you learn how to not pay any attention to fat guys that you know, have a position, you know. So it's really hard to make a living riding bulls. So, you know, for gosh sakes, give yourself a chance. I mean, I heard a story the other day, and I've been going to call Jerome Davis to get it verified. So he had 100 bull riders at a bull riding that he had at his place, and they made 3 qualified rides.
Wow.
Well, if that's true, then there's something wrong with our business.
You bet.
You know, the we're bucking. Jerome shouldn't put that good of bulls out there, or he needs to help the guys. But that's absolutely ridiculous. So, you know, if I want to be a fighter, And every day I got to get in the ring with Sugar Ray Leonard and get the tar beat out of me. How long do you think I'm going to really want to be a fighter?
Not very long.
And so, you know, that's my reason that I go do free bull riding clinics. I bring maybe 5 or 6 bulls, but then the rest of them's old wore out team roping steers, where everybody can make the whistle and get off right. I mean, you know, it's just amazing to me how much misinformation. Anybody that starts out on a bull that's standing up on his hand and got his blood up in the air has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
Period. The end. So, and you've seen some of those on television. So, like I said, blind hog can find an acorn. But if you have bad fundamentals, eventually it'll get you. I don't care if you win a world title. You can be lucky and win one. You know, you can be lucky. When you're a great bull rider, it's when you're in the top 10 or 15 years in a row. 10 or 15 years in a row.
Yes.
Then you get my attention. You can command some respect from me. Up until then, you know, I mean, like right now, I'm J.W. Harris's biggest cheerleader. I hope he wins his 4th in a row. But I will say this, he's got a hill to climb this year.
You bet he does. Let's talk just a little bit about that, Donnie. That's actually right where we were headed. You talk about the top 5, the top 10 in each of the big associations out there right now, the PBR, the CBR, and the PRCA. And you've got a guy like J.W. Harris, 3-time world champion, and then you've got a guy like Shane Proctor, finished out the season with the PBR in the top 10, but has dominated the PRCA this year. He's coming off of a groin injury. What do you think this battle is going to be down here at the Wrangler National Finals this year?
Well, if his groin's well, where he can ride, where he's not hurt, then it'll be a real battle, be a real riding contest. I hope they're both healthy and get off to a good start. You know, it's really no fun to be battling somebody and they get hurt. You want to win, but you hate to, you don't want to wish that off on anybody. What Shane Proctor did, you know, making the PBR finals and the PRCA, the NFR, that was done regularly if you were really good, like Tuff Hedeman. You know, but then whenever they, you know, changed the rule, they added, you know, PBR events and made it impossible to do both almost. And so the feat that Shane's pulled off, that was well worth the wait. And you can hear guys, you know, talking more like, when you step over in the chute and you get down on the bull, the prognosticators, myself included, all the guys with the microphone, it's bull riding. And it don't matter alphabet soup. I do get tired of PRCA, CBR, PBR, X, Y, frickin' Z. You know, it's bull riding. If you got good bulls and you got good bull riders that are going to put out 100% effort, if you're a bull riding fan, who cares? I mean, I can't cheer any louder for a 90-point ride turned in by Marchie than I can for Chris Shivers, than I can for J.W. Harris. I like them all, you know. So I say that I'm not pulling against Shane Proctor to win a world title. I think that would do him some good for his confidence. You know, from the neck up is winning, and he still has some growing to do. From the neck down, the physical attributes and abilities, he's riding really pretty good. J.W. Harris has always ridden from the neck down pretty good, but from the neck up, that boy gets it. And that's the reason he's won 3 world titles, is because he understands about winning, and he has the upper hand, even though he's 30,000 or so behind going in to the NFR. But I think that Proctor needs that cushion because of JW's experience, and he's got the gold buckle, you know, holding his britches up already. And Shane would like to have one. I hope Shane gets off to a good start, because if he gets some confidence, because this summer when they were going to some of the Extreme Bulls, that I had the opportunity to watch them both up close and everything, watch the body language and the things that I think are important. It was good watching. I mean, one a guy, one next didn't come right back. Hey, you know, don't forget about me, and that's just the way it should be. That reminds me, and I get fired up talking about it. That just like I'd watch Jerry the Pew ride, and he'd throw his hands up and give him the hot man, and I'd come right back and say, hey, don't forget about me, and I'd ride one, throw my hands up, I'm baby hot. You know, look at it. I mean, you know, so that's the fun part about, you know, about rodeo. And once you start to understand that there's as much to winning happens up between your ears. You still have to do the one jump at a time thing, but and a guy that can ride with his rope looser and ride with more balance will last a whole lot longer. I mean, Chris Shivers, the only time he ever gets hurt is when he takes a loop. There's a guy that has ridden bulls a long time at an extremely high level. Mike White comes to mind. He did the same thing, Tuff Hedeman. Those are the guys, Jim Sharp. When you're over 35 years old and you're in the top 10, that just means that you really understand how to win, because obviously you're not going to be riding as good physically when you're 35 as you did when you were 25. So
you would say that at that age that their mental game is what's carrying them through and getting them to where they need to be. Is that right?
There's no question. You know, and your mental game can go both ways. You know, there was a – you asked Adriano Moraes next time you talked to him, what he and I talked about when Tuff and everybody said he was done, and we had a good conversation, and I said he wasn't done, and Tuff and I we argued about it, and then Adriano wins him another world title. Could have won 2 more if his arm hadn't been hurt. But you know, pure fact is it's mental. Once you're up there at that age, you'd pretty much stand anything for 8 seconds, but you have to be able to stand it in the manner that's going to get you to the pay window instead of just show it up. You know, it's one thing to be an Iron Man going to 200 events, but it's another thing to be the Iron Man going to the awards banquet to get the gold buckle. There's a difference.
You bet. You bet. Well, Donnie, we've only got about 5 minutes left here in our show, and I want to thank you again for taking the time.
I talk a lot.
Well, I'll tell you what, it really has been enjoyable and knowledgeable. You know, we've been kind of getting a whole new understanding of the sport itself, and this is great going into the Wrangler National Finals and looking at a guy like Shane Proctor battling it out with 3-time world champion J.W. Harris. But going back to what you had just said about feeding off of each other, and the competition between those two, you had a real similar story. And this is something that I've had the opportunity firsthand to hear from Gary LaFue. And this story goes on, I mean, just as many times as you can meet Gary, he's going to talk about it. And that was back when he was, you know, he launched basically the Hot Man Tour. And he come out and said, I am the greatest thing in the sport of bull riding right now. And that was about the time that you kind of picked up underneath him and started traveling with him and became baby hot. So can you kind of enlighten us and tell us a little bit about that story and what it was like traveling with Gary at that point in his career and bringing you on and being able to feed off of that?
Well, you know, Gary was, you know, he was still trying to, he was getting to the end of his career at that time. You know, I graduated from high school in 72. He'd already been the champion. And you know, and a couple of years removed, and he'd been rodeoing a long time, you know, and won that world title. And then Bill Nelson won it in 71. And in 72, Johnny Quintana was in the lead. And he and Gary were friends, and Quintana was flying airplanes, and I'd gotten to go to some rodeos with Larry Mahan in his airplane, and my other passion besides rodeoing, riding bulls, was flying airplanes. So I knew I was going to get my pilot's license, so anybody that had an airplane, I wanted to be, you know, around. But in 1972, I had a 67 Pontiac that was paid for. It was running on about 6 of the 8 cylinders, you know. So we were getting to the rodeos driving, and my older brother Pete and I, Bobby Steiner, Jim Shoulder's son, Marvin Paul, Bobby Steiner, we all were, you know, road crew, you know, on the ground, and we were going to 100-plus rodeos driving and rarely getting on an airline. The airline at that time, back in the early 70s, it was a big deal to get on an airline. Now it's like getting loaded on the back of a cattle car. When I really got involved with Gary LaFue, I was at Waco, Texas, and I was really close to making the NFR. Nobody thought I could. Right. Nobody thought I was going to. But there was about 2 or 3 big rodeos left in Texas. There was Waco, well, not in Texas, but Waco, Little Rock, and Liberty, Texas. Or there was 8 rodeos out in California prior to the last rodeo of the year to qualify for the NFR with San Francisco at the Cow Palace. And so I wanted to go to the most rodeos. I felt like I needed to win $500 to cinch going to the NFR. And you have to remember back then, a go round at the NFR didn't pay $500, paid $420.
Okay.
That's what it paid. Yeah, that was first place. You know, now it pays $15,000. Okay, so this is in 1972, and so LaFue. And I remember he's got this mustache, big Fu Manchu mustache, and he called himself Madruga. He was a cool guy. I mean, he was the biker. He looked the part, kind of like Jack Palance playing the bad guy in a western. You know, he just fit the part. And he said, "Why don't you come go with me to California? Well, I'll take you to those rodeos." You can stay at my house, and then we'll go on up to the Cow Palace. And I said, okay. So I bought me a plane ticket. I flew out to Santa Maria, and he picked me up. And we went to those 8 rodeos. Well, the first one we went to was Ventura, California, and I won the bull riding, and I won $548 first place. I was taking my rap on the NFR bull. His name was Bad News. I won't ever forget it, just like it is yesterday. And this is a long time ago. I'm taking my rap on the bull, and Cotton Rosser is on his horse, and he was always known for, you know, screaming and hollering at everybody, telling them to hurry up. They're trying to put on a 2-hour performance. You know, he's a showman and everything. And he comes riding up on his pickup horse, and he kicked the latch open. I don't even have my rap. I panicked. It scared me. And I just jumped at the bull. I mean, I had the rope laying in my hand, and it was right behind my hand. And I didn't even complete my wrap. And this bull turned back, and I rode him and won the bull riding. So I knew I had the NFR made. So I moved in there with Gary and at his house and at Arroyo Grande. And oh gosh, you know, kind of the rest of his history.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you what, Donnie, there was, you know, it's always interesting hearing Gary talk about you and about how he watched you coming into the sport and then see what you've done for the sport in winning those 8 world championships, you know. And then to have you behind the microphone and being able to just to have you actually out here announcing it is really interesting. We love it. We love to see you out there. you're going to be out at the Wrangler National Finals, and after each performance, you're going to be out there at the Gold Coast with Gary LaFue. Is that right?
Well, that's correct. I do a show called the National Finals Tonight, and that's kind of like the old Tonight Show, and it's every performance recap, and we'll have contestants from some of the events at each one of our shows for, you know, good interviews, and we'll have all the replays and, you know, go over what we liked and didn't like and this, that, and other, and people in the audience can ask questions. And it's really it's a real popular show. It's been voted the best new show on the Strip for the last 4 years, so we're pretty proud about that with Boyd Gaming and all the Coast hotels. But the Gold Coast is the place to be. But our deal ends at 11 o'clock, 11:15. But we've got the legendary Buck and Ball, the big cowboy party and dance that Gary started at the Cow Palace back in the 70s. Only thing different is just wear your cowboy clothes. You don't have to dress up in a costume. Of course, you can if you want to. But upstairs, the party never ends. This year, George Strait's ace and the whole band. Some of those members are going to be playing there every night. And it's one of the only dance floors in the whole city of Las Vegas. So you can come dance to some great country and western music. Scotty Alexander's the opening act, and so National Finals tonight, we'll have me and Joe Beaver and Dan Miller, Bob Tallman, Boyd Paul Hamus, and all, you know, cowboys and cowgirls from the rodeo. It's just a place to be, the Gold Coast, every night after the rodeo.
Absolutely. Well, Donnie, thank you for taking the time to sit back on the ranch with us and talk a little bit about this and share your story a little bit. You know, it's been really entertaining, and we certainly enjoyed it. Look forward to seeing you out there at the Wrangler National Finals this year, as well as, the 2012 season, seeing you out there at these rodeos.
Well, I'm looking forward to 2012 as the general manager of Frontier Rodeo. I got to give us a little bit of a plug. Gary Nelson's the owner. He won the bareback and saddle bronc horse of the year honors for the PRCA this year, and he's tickled the best, and everybody in the crew is. And so we're looking forward to 2012, and there's never been a better time to be a bull rider than right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Donnie, take care. Have yourself a happy Thanksgiving out there this week, and we'll see you out there at the Wrangler National Finals here in about 2 weeks.
Okay, great.
All right, take care.
See you later.
All right, fans, there you go. 8-time world champion Donnie Gay joining us here tonight back on the ranch, and we do appreciate him taking the time out here. Want to make sure that you guys are aware, Wednesday night we'll be sitting down with Sam Medlock, head coach of the Allied Bull Riders, and having our Bull Riding Advice Hour. And, of course, that'll be brought to you right here on the Making 8 Rodeo Network. Don't forget to listen to the archives and watch for our video streams as we'll be setting some things up. Making 8 Rodeo Network and Making8.com, certainly making some changes. And until Wednesday, rodeo fans, make sure to get a grip with Making8.com.
Thanks for tuning in with Making 8. Happy trails, be blessed, and get a grip.
Welcome and listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to feel those good vibrations coming from the joy that His love can bring, turn your radio on. Listen for the call. Turn your radio on.